We said at the beginning of this series concerning the minor, quote, minor epistles, that we would, I don't need it, Steve, that we would, he's coming anyway. I got one up here, but that's okay.
You did okay.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly. We wanted everybody to read and to study the various epistles, and if possible, to read them beforehand, and if possible, to read them again after we had spoken upon them and to study them. And we wanted to quote 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading at verse 16, with each epistle. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the son, that the man of God may be perfect, through thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, first of all, I'm glad to tell you that I know some people have been doing that, because I've had some come to me and speak that they read Joel ahead of time. So that, I'm glad for that. Secondly, I want to tell you that I think that the thought or the idea that we have concerning Joel and the epistle of Joel, the minor prophet of Joel, that's particularly true. We need to read it. We need to be aware of it. We need to know what it says and what it means. And I'll come back to that in a few moments. But let me also read another portion, Joel chapter 1, in the first verse. And the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. In other words, the word of the Lord came to Joel that this portion that the Lord was going to give to Joel should be read and studied and passed on from generation to generation. The word of God is given by inspiration for those of us to read it, to study it, to learn it, and to know what God has to say to us, to me. So there's a message, and it is reiterated in the very first words in the book of Joel itself, that that's what God wants. He wants us to read this stuff. He wants us to read these things and understand them. He wants us to carry forth what he is trying to tell us in the book of Joel, which is one of the minor prophets. Who is Joel? I don't know. When was Joel born? I don't know. When did he live? What age was he carried forth? I don't know. Joel, we read, was born of Pethuel. Oh, who was Pethuel? I don't know. When did he live? I don't know. You get the idea? We don't know when Joel put forth the words that he spoke. There are some that say he was very young and very early in recorded history, that he was the first to write of a prophecy concerning the things of God. You know, there's a lot of people who put a lot of emphasis on firsts. And I think there's a lot of emphasis to be put on what Joel wrote and put forth, and how that he put it forth very early. And he gave his prophecy in several different ways. And he used the term 5 times in the book of Joel. Today is the day of the Lord. He's the first one to ever use that word, but you've heard it many times. He's the first one to ever emphasize the working of the Lord and his presence in mankind, and his prophecies were to be taken seriously because God was trying to work. Today is the day of the Lord. How does Joel fit in with the other words that we read in the minor prophets? Well, I maintain, or I suggest, that it don't. Joel kind of stands out by itself. There's a lot of stories we read, we heard about Hezekiah last week, and we know about some of the other prophets and how they are proclaimed in the following books. But Joel is kind of a parenthesis that stands all by itself. Joel was a prophet, that's for sure. He started by prophesying concerning an happening that may never have happened, or maybe it did happen, or when it happened, we don't know, if it happened the way that he gave it. But it all was a prophecy, and started the prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the land of Israel and the land of Judah and the land of Jerusalem. And he made prophecies concerning their well-being, concerning their things that were going to happen to them. And he made those prophecies very carefully in the first chapter especially, and we'll talk more about that later, and then in the second, third, and if you will, the third chapter as well. Now, Joel only has 3 chapters, so it can't have a whole lot in it, right? Wrong. Joel covers in his prophecy from the early days of the land that God had given the people to the end times when the earth shall be removed. And when God will come again, not just once, he's already come once, not just twice, but three times, and how he'll take people to be with him. And he talks about things that we hear frequently and talk about every day. Now, are these things then important to us? Should we understand what Joel is trying to tell us? We oftentimes hear about the tribulation. We oftentimes hear about the invasion of the land and how God, in his wisdom and in his knowledge and with his support, allowed these people to be taken. We also hear about the great tribulation, as we've already said. We hear about that one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We read about how God will deal with the Gentiles and the Jews in that last day. I may have forgotten something, but Joel didn't. Joel talked about all of those things. He made prophecies concerning all of those things. There were prophecies that would come later. There were prophecies by other people. Prophecies given by Daniel. Prophecies given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Matthew. Peter talked about it on the day of Pentecost. There are other prophecies concerning the future. And of course, there's the book of Revelation. Paul talked about it, the coming of the Lord. And there is the book of Revelation, in which we have a whole book that expands upon all of these things. But Joel started all that, as far as recorded history is concerned. The Lord was behind it all. So, is Joel important? Is Joel relevant? I maintain to you that the words we read in the beginning, that it is good for us to study and to hear the Word of God, and to understand what it has to say, begins with the prophecies of the book of Joel in the Old Testament. Now, the first time that he uses the day of the Lord. First of all, let's talk about the day of the Lord. There's a day of man, that's now. There's a day of man when man thinks he's ruling and taking care of everything and runs everything and thinks that he has control. But this talks about the day of the Lord, and it talks about it five times over. So, what is the day of the Lord? If the present time isn't it, it's the day that Joel proclaimed that God would be in control. It's the day that God would have to deal with mankind and the men that were alive and those who were born again, Christians, non-Christians, he addresses them all. So you see, there's coming a day when God will deal with mankind. And the prophecy of Joel begins the prophecy, begins the discussion, if you will, in a way, concerning God dealing in God's ways. And there are specific times when the day of the Lord will take over and will rule. The first one that is talked about is in verse 15. Verse 15, alas for the day, of the Lord is at hand, and as mighty destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Now, if we took time to read, and I don't begin to tell you that we have time to read the details that Joel proclaimed in these three short verses, chapters, concerning how God is going to deal with man. If we took time to read all of these things, we would start by reading of a great infest of grasshoppers, and how that there would be a plague that would come upon man. I was born and raised in Iowa. Most of you know that. Some of us are even proud of it, but not me. I can remember conferences and times when people would talk about some of the plagues that God brought upon man. The first one we read of in the scripture, time-wise, is the plague that was brought to Pharaoh to let his people go when he allowed grasshoppers to come into the earth. Now, I was an engineering student. I didn't know a lot about farming, and farming didn't know a lot about engineering, so we were equal. But there were times when we would read God's Word and we would study God's Word. And I learned enough to know that in the times when this plagues of the grasshoppers came upon the earth, it made the farmers and a lot of the poor people shudder. You see, as it says in Joel, these times that would come upon man when God would deal with them through the grasshoppers, God would destroy a lot of vegetation or allow a lot of vegetation to be destroyed. And one of the things that probably worried you the most, if you had a lush cornfield, was not a rain or not a tornado, which might wipe out a small portion or take a small path in the crops as they were growing, but it would be if there was to be a plague of grasshoppers. Joel describes that very well, and we're not going to have time to go into all of that. But suffice it to say that when the grasshoppers come upon the fields, they eat the vegetation. Joel points out that there can be up to four layers, if you will, of these kind of beings that will be brought to be. Some of them will eat the leaves, and eat the weaker branches of the plant, and that can cause big devastation to the plant. Other parts of the grasshopper plague would be when they started to eat the bark and take the bark of the plants, even of the trees. And they could even eat it down to where a nice tree which produced fruit or produced good was taken down to what they call the white of the bark. It's the slick part under the bark, between the bark and the wood. And then there would be some that could even take the devastation further, and Joel addresses these. And he started to address these because he wanted to address that this would be when this came, the day of the Lord. Now, I'm not sure, and I don't want to mislead you, whether there was devastations of the kind that I actually talk about here, or this was a prophecy concerning the land of Israel. Because the first of the predictions as to what God was going to do was he was going to take the land from the Garden of Eden, from a very plush land to an absolute barren situation. If we read carefully, and if you read it, and if you take time to look at it, you will find that Joel used that to prophesy concerning the enemies that would take over the land of Judah and Israel. He would use that to tell forth how that the land started out very plush, but by the invaders and by those that came in, ended up very poor. That's the first prophecy that Joel talks about in his book, and he talks about that primarily in the first chapter and in the first parts of the second chapter. Joel prophesied how that the land of Israel would be invaded by those that came to take it over, and how that God would allow this, and God would step aside and allow this land to be surrendered by the presence of the Lord. Then there are other prophecies which Joel started on to read. And you're going to have to read these things, because I don't have time to go through them all in detail. And as we read in the first verses, as we started speaking this noon, we hope you'll take time to read these and to realize that they're important. Now, why is Joel where he's at? Why is Joel in the middle of the minor prophets? Well, in a sense, he is a minor prophet. We don't know who he is or where he came from, as we've already said. We don't know exactly where he fit in the scheme of time. We do know that he was used as the Lord. We do know that it's a short book. Last week, our brother had trouble getting through all the 13 or 14 chapters in the book himself. This is a more minor prophet than that. This is only 3 chapters. And there's only 3 chapters to be read. But my friends, there's a great deal of meat. And it covers, as we've already said, from the beginning, essentially, of recorded history, clear through the time when God will destroy the heaven and the earth. And it tells about how he'll handle the Gentiles. And it tells about how he'll handle the nation of Israel and the things that will be there. There are portions that we read that we're really glad we can step aside and not have to look at. Such as when he talks about the Great Tribulation. we know, and he states that in his prophecy as well, that during the Great Tribulation, the church and those that have accepted the Lord as their Savior will be taken out of this world. And Paul tells us how grateful and how thankful and how happy we should be that we don't have to worry about that thing. Joel tells us about that too. Joel tells us about, and he tells us how terrible the tribulation will be. And Joel tells us about that. You know, there was a book, went around, or a series of books actually, and I know some read it even here. There was a series of books written, I don't know by whom the author was, but it talked about what it'll be like in the Great Tribulation, how the devastation will come upon this world. Well, guess what? That's one of the days of the Lord that Joel talks about as well. I don't think we begin to realize. I did a little daydreaming. I did a little thinking. That's always dangerous for me to do. Sometimes I do it about 3 o'clock in the morning, and Molly says, "Will you come to bed?" No, she's very kind. She's very kind. But think about it. The Lord hasn't come yet. What a nightmare it's going to be. I was listening the other day to a guy, and he was talking about a prophecy that how that one of the airline pilots, and we have a pilot normally in our midst, will be taken, or maybe both of them will be taken, and suddenly you'll have an airline and there won't be anybody that knows how to fly it or land it. We saw that out here recently in one of our islands where somebody stole a plane and knew how to take off, but he didn't know how to land it. And when it came to landing, it was a total disaster. We think about computers. Oh, you all hate your computers. Oh, you get so mad at your computers that, you know, it just don't work like it's supposed to work. And it causes all kinds of things. I got a letter yesterday from my email carrier saying that they were going to take away my email and cause my email not to work. And I had 12 hours, not 12 minutes, not 12 seconds, not just 12 hours to rectify the situation or I would lose it. Think of what it will be when all of your computers and maybe everybody else's don't work anymore. And nobody can, there's not nearly enough people around to rectify the situation. Joel talks about the fact that things will be really, really difficult, really, really put aside. That's one of the days of the Lord that he talks about. Then there's when he will come again and take the people and set up a new heaven and a new earth here on earth. Joel talks about that. Then there's a time when he will allow the heaven and the earth to be destroyed. Joel talks about that. Incidentally, the 5 days of the Lord, just so you can look them up if you want to do so, is the first chapter, verse 15, we read that. The second chapter, verse 1, the verse 11, verse 31, and the third chapter, verse 14. There you'll find the 5 days that Joel talks about, which are the days of the Lord, when God will deal with man in various ways and will impose himself upon us. Well, wouldn't it behoove us to understand a little of our future? That's why we should read these chapters. It's only 3 chapters, but it's not easy reading. There's only 3 chapters, but it's going to take you some time to figure out and to understand how God plans to do these things. But here's Joel. We don't know when he began. We don't know when he did his prophecy. But we do know that he prophesied about all those things, even to the end time. Now, I have another word that I'd like to leave with you and let you think about. That is, what are you going to be doing in those end times? As you read through the book of Joel, as you study the book of Joel, how do you fit into what Joel is promising God is going to do? You know, it's sort of one thing to worry about the fact that all these preachers preach that you need to be saved, that you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why? Well, because it has implications. Not only will your soul escape the burnings of hell or the eternal loss in hell if you ignore God's way of salvation, but if you understand the implications of these things, then you'll understand a little more of what alternative you have chosen for yourself to endure as they are prophesied by Joel. Some of these prophecies, like I said before, are foretold and given more of an understanding by things that were later said by some of the others, like John, the Lord, and by Paul, and by etc. But where do you fit into these things? Have you ever thought about that? Read through some of these prophecies. See where you fit. Are you amongst those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then you'll know for sure that God will be with you and he'll take care of you. And if Joel promises how that he will administer and help and he will take out of the harm's way the things for those that accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But if you miss that opportunity, if you do not take that opportunity while you're here on this earth, then you can also learn what sort of things you'll have to endure, what sort of things will be yours to situate with, how that it'll be like a long and a lost eternity. I frequently think of the rich man and Lazarus. And I think that if we all understood it, we'd all want to make sure that we weren't like the rich man. We started early by saying that there would be a time, there would be man's time. The rich man had his man's time. But when he woke up in hell and he realized what Lazarus, whom he had scoffed at, whom he had fed the parts of it that he wouldn't even give to his dogs. When he realized the position that the Lazarus was in the presence of the Lord, he pleaded, he begged, if it be possible, you know, that he be allowed to go back and to tell others and to warn others concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, these prophecies are written and these pictures are given so that you might understand what lies before you. Then it will be God's time. Today will be the day of the Lord. Things will go the way that the God has predicted and will has told us. And we can read of these by reading the books in the minor prophets and in Joel. And even though Joel may not be sequentially in the right place concerning what happens around him, this little book of just three chapters tells us a great deal about what lies in front of each and every one of us. Oh, that you would look at this word and think about these words. It might stir you to want to serve him and to tell more others more concerning what lies before them. He may have been amongst the first prophets to ever talk about these things. But that don't make it any less true. And the truth is that God will deal with you, he will deal with me, and he will deal with the world, even in the end times, because he has promised that he would come forth in these things. Shall we look to the Lord for a moment of prayer? Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the prophetic words that are given from the very earliest times of recorded history to the very end times in the book of Revelation concerning what lie before. And our Father, we pray that it might motivate us and it might dominate our thinking, that we might have a desire to serve him, to realize that if a man that we don't even know when he existed knew about these things, truly, how will they affect you and I as we walk upon this scene and as we go into these end times? Be with us this day. Be with us as we part from this place. Open thy word and thy mind to any who are unsaved, that they might come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might understand that these prophecies particularly apply to them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.